Good morning, everyone. We would like to thank you for your interest in Grupo Nutresa and connecting to the second conference for the second results of the second quarter of 2016. At the table, we have Carlos Ignacio Gallegos, CEO of Grupo Nutresa, Jose Domingo Penagos, Vice President of Corporate Finance, Santiago Escobar, Director of Corporate Finance, and myself, Alejandro Jimenez, Director of Investor Relations. After the presentation that will be made by the President and the Vice President of Corporate Finance about the results of the past quarter, we'll start the Q&A sessions. Any responses we'll receive through the webcast will be read literally. Anyone who has been connected to the telephone conference in English will think you send your questions using the webcast or through my email at ajjimenez@gruponutresa.com. Finally, anyone who wishes to follow slides through the webcast are in English by default. You can download the slides in Spanish from the webcast screen. I leave you with Mr. Carlos Ignacio Gallego, CEO of Grupo Nutresa. Good morning. Welcome to our conference for results of the second quarter of 2016. To start with, I'd like you to look at slide number two. We'll begin by sharing some interesting events for this second quarter. First of all, I'd like to tell you about the recent acquisition of a beef processing plant by our cold cut business unit. This is located in the department of Cesar in Colombia, and we bought it for 25,000 million Colombian pesos. This is subject to the authorization by the Superintendents of Industry and Trade. This is an acquisition that is intended to reinforce our supply chain, improve the quality of the processes. It's a significant step, and we are very happy to be able to have made it. And second, a very good news, Merco Talento confirmed Grupo Nutresa as recently as the second best company to work with in Colombia and the most attractive in the food industry. This measurement carried out by this independent third party, looks at the different stakeholders and ratifies something that is part of our Grupo Nutresa objectives, which is developing everyone who works in the company and who is the basis for all our plans. After this, I'd like you to go to slide number three. We will start by looking at the sales figures for the quarter. We'll look first at the first quarter and then the accumulated. In general, it was a very positive quarter in the sales dynamics, and it was positive both in Colombia and in the international operations. In Colombia, we had sales for 1,297,309.5%. We grew 9%. This is higher than the previous quarter, which was 9.2, and higher than inflation at June of this year. The growth is 0.2, a growth by volume, and 0.6 increase in prices. We should see the volume grows very slightly. The trend is positive. And as you can see, in each business we had significant increases in sales, and in general, the volumes have reacted. The exception are the crackers and the ice cream businesses, because in this front we had some price increases higher than the average, and in the ice creams, because in Colombia especially, we had a very rainy quarter that affected the sales of ice cream. It's important also to say that in consumer foods, for the first time, we have a quarter that is comparable to the previous quarter. We grew 5.5%. This is based on a larger number of transactions and a growth in sales of the same sales, and it considers that the effect of it, it includes some remodelings. We had a very good quarter. Overseas, we had sales for $278.7 million. which grew 1.15% in dollars. It's important to point out then that to calculate those figures, we include the devaluations used in the various countries where we operate. And although we reduced 0.1% in dollars, expressed in pesos, is 803,000 million pesos with a growth of 19.5%. It's important also to mention that at the end of June, we had some shipping difficulties which affected the figures, especially in Colombia, that had to do with a strike in the transportation sector and affected some exports of coffee, biscuits, and transportation in Chile because of some port difficulties. Some shipments were also delayed. So it was a good quarter internationally. Venezuela, as we said in the previous conference, has been consolidated in their financial states with a new marginal foreign exchange system, and it ended at June at 621 bolivars per dollar. This is important. We, as we have always said, we're trying to record these operations at the rate which is closest to real life and in keeping with the legislation. This makes the cold cut business includes that rate in its figures. It also shows that Pemlux in Chile, in Chilean pesos, we grew in Chilean pesos. When we consolidate and we add these sales in Colombia and international sales, in slide number 4, we can see that it was in total sales grew at a double-digit rate with very sound behaviors in most businesses. These sales reached 2.1 billion pesos in the quarter by growing at 13.1%. In cold cuts, we grew 15.8%, in biscuits 14.2%, chocolates 19.4%. In TM Look, 10.6, coffee, 5, retail food, 10.2, and ice cream, as I said, affected by the weather, decreased by 0.6, and in pastas we grew at 15.5. It's very important for these growth rates is not only the issue of prices, which we already mentioned, but also we had some innovation in marketing, and 16.6% of our total sales are sales that come from innovations. We also like to point out that when you speak about price, we're not only speaking about the price increases in the references. We also have the innovations due to higher added value. We have the changes in the sales mix. Added to that, the increases you make in some references. Some of those increases were made from the previous year, and they affect the quarter under analysis. Here, especially the Q2, which we just explained. So, taking the second quarter and adding it to the first one, as we have reported, we'll see after slide number 5, accumulated sales in Colombia, we reached 2.55 million billion with a growth of 12.4%. Organic sales were 2.48 with a growth of 9.4%. These sales come from a small decrease of 0.2 in volume and a price increase of 9.8. It's interesting to show you that although in the accumulation there's a small decrease of 0.2 in the last quarter, as I just told you, there is no decrease, but rather the trend is that positive. This is a very good behavior for Colombia. It was a challenging quarter, but semester. But the strategy we adopted produces good results. All the businesses grow as a total. Overseas, we increased 30.4 million dollars, growing at 0.3. In Colombian pesos, it's 1,654,000 billion, It's a growth of 25.8%, and cold cuts, and the figures that you see are already expressed with the Venezuelan conversion at the rate that we explained earlier. When we combine domestic and international sales in the quarter, we come to slide number 6, to sales of $4.2 billion and growing by 17.4%. It's an outstanding sales behavior. The organic growth is 15.4%. This allows us to reach double digits in almost all business units, a very good growth. And this growth allows us to have optimistically the idea that we're going to achieve our goal, the mega goal of doubling the sales we got in 2013 by that year 2020. The innovation sales are 16.7% of total sales. Let's now go to slide number 7. Here we can see in the accumulated for the semester what the sales right by region is. First region is Colombia with 60.7% of the sales. The second geography is Central America with 9.8% of sales. And then we have Chile with 8.4% and the U.S. with 8.3%. This gives us a balance of 60.7 Colombian sales and 39.3 international sales. In a way, the basket of geographies also allows us to have a different risk mix and have regions that are growing and others we have decelerations. But this is a good mix of geographies. The measures we've taken, the marketing strategy we've adopted, is reflected in slide number 8. The consolidated market share in Colombia at the end of this second quarter of 2016 shows a participation of 61.2%. This is 0.3% higher than the same quarter in the previous year. So we grew in consolidated share. Compared to the first quarter of this year, it maintains the same level. We've seen 73.7% in cold cuts, in biscuits 56, grew 0.6. Nuts and chocolates, we grew 16.1, we grew 3.7. I'd also like to highlight the international aspect, the PM look, where we have cold cuts and cold drinks in Chile and Mexico, we increased our share. I'm not going to read the others individually, but it is a very good market share, and we've, although in some references, as I said, the pricing strategy is not to increase all the prices across the board, but rather select some references in some categories, in some geographies, and in some channels where there's room to change the price variable and with producing as little effect on volumes and market shares. It's a very good share. Let's talk about what's going on after looking at the commercial part and the positioning of our sales and the power of our sales. Let's talk about the costs. And for that, I'll ask you to look at slide number 9. Here we see the commodities index in the Grupo Nutresa, and that we use to set up our costs. This index is in dollars, and as you can see, in the left-hand graph, we see some reactions to some increases in the indicators, especially because of what has happened with beef, coffee, sugar, and oil. But when this index is converted into Colombian pesos, because of the revaluation during the first semester, we have a decrease in 1.3% in the Nutresa group in commodities index in pesos. It's really interesting to remind you that this mix of categories in which Nutresa works allows us not to depend on a single commodity. We also mentioned that the item that carries the most weight in this graph is packaging material, which carry 13.3% of the total. And you can see each of the commodity, the relative weight that it has in our mix. There are some sort of natural coverage because not all of them go up or down at the same time. And we continue to use our hedge cover. We use physical inventories where the prices are favorable in strategies that enable us to mitigate the effects and the variations and the volatility with these commodities. So that is the what we can say about raw materials. And for going on with the EBITDA, I give the floor to Dr. Penagos. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. Good morning. Let's analyze the profitability area, financial statements, and debt ratio. And for that, I'd like you to look at slide number 10, where we show the EBITDA for the quarter, for the entire group, and for the various business units. Well, I'll start by saying that, in general, we can see that the EBITDA grew 13.1%, very much in line with the behavior of the sales for the first quarter. And we have a margin of 12.1%, exactly the same as we had in the same period the previous year. Then we have the effects of the projects that we're implementing in Chile, Mexico, and the U.S. And if we exclude the effect of those projects, the margin of 12.1 becomes 12.3%. This in general. If we evaluate the profitability by business, we have in the first place the meat business, the beef and cold cuts. This maintains an excellent margin, the same as we saw during the first quarter, mainly because of the effect of the higher average prices we used and the additional effort in cost control. And in a very good management, and you can see the margin there, a very outstanding growth. In the biscuits, although the margin is below the range that we use in the group for the long term, we see a significant growth in amounts, very positive, and the margin for the semester is higher than the lower part of the range. This is 12%. We'll see that in the next slide. Chocolates, we have to highlight the good dynamics of this business for this period. This allows us to show 10.1% increase in EBITDA. Although we continue with the effect of the cost, pressure on cost of the higher prices of raw materials and the volatility, you can see a very good dynamics in the business in this chocolate unit. Through production and volumes, we show some significant increases in profitability. That would be the most significant for the chocolate business during this period. It's excellent business dynamics. For TML, we have 8.7% affected mainly by the projects, but because of the lower dynamics in Mexico, we mentioned a bit earlier during the commercial discussion, and we excluded the effect of the project, that becomes 12.6%. It goes into the range that we are using for the whole range. Coffee remains at very high levels, it's an outstanding margin, the highest in the group, and it has a slight decrease compared to the previous period. This is mainly due to the trends in raw materials. The cost of coffee has been going up, but we see a very, very sound margin and sustained. For retail food, the business margin for the quarter was affected mainly by the effect of inflation in fixed expenses. I'd like to go back over this business structure of this business. Its main business has to do with raw materials and beef or hamburgers, but it's a more of a expense and management. We have a fixed cost like that in salaries. It's intensive in personnel, and this expenses increased compared to the previous period. And we've been managing those prices, but in this specific case, I'm keeping very much in mind, taking care of the transaction, the number of transactions, the volume for this business is essential for us. We are very careful, especially during the first year after the acquisition. We're using some prices, but very carefully so as not to affect the transactions that are so important. With respect to the ice cream business, the profile due to the low level of sales because of the rains does not decrease the fixed costs. We don't have the volume, and profitability is decreased. When we don't have those expected sales volumes, we have significant effects on the profit levels. As we have the opposite as the previous businesses, that we have very good business dynamics, mainly due to the innovation during the period. This allowed us to have good volumes. It's a smaller business in which the dilution of these costs is much more noticeable in its profit levels. So that was a beneficial effect. That is for the profitability of the first quarter. We have on slide number 11 information of the accumulated EBITDA for the entire semester. And we can say that, in general, the margin is in the middle part of the range, 12.7%. We have a very good growth, 16.4%, also very much in line with the growth in revenue for the semester. The effect of the projects here is 0.2. The margin without those projects, the margin would be 12.9%. I'm going to go faster here. The semester is the summary of the first quarter that you already know about, and the second quarter we just described it in detail. In general, I'd say by business, that in cold cuts, I'd say it's a very sound business, very good behavior for the both quarters, good margin, good growth. It's very sound this year. In biscuits, as I said earlier, although it's lower part of the range, it's still good level considering the pressures we've had in some raw materials and dollars and things like oil or sugars. We also have the effect of the project for crackers in the U.S. Without that, the margin margin would be 12.5%, the lower part of the range, but with very good trends. Chocolate, the EBITDA for the semester is stable. The cost of profit of inputs remains. The good news is the good dynamics during the quarter that we hope prevails over the next few quarters. We had a margin of 10.7%. Without the project, we're at 12.1%. In coffee, I already mentioned that. For the quarter, we maintain a very good trend in terms of margins and growth of the EBITDA. For retail food, I would say that the results for the semester are affected by the inflation. We are looking for expense management. I already mentioned our idea. So I have some actions to adapt the prices, but we'd like to control expenses better. That's what we're doing in this business to maintain our profit levels. In ice cream, once again, it's at the limit of the range, 12%. It had a decrease in profits for the quarter. Well, the first quarter was better, and that helps to maintain it within the range. And in pasta, in the first quarter affected the results for the semester.
Let's now look at the statement of results for the second quarter and the semester. We have slide number 12. We have two blocks, one operating and non-operating. In the operating expenses, revenues grew, as you can see in the slide, 13.1% during the quarter. This doesn't have the effect of the acquisition of El Corral. We have that for a few months, but it is very clean. But we have an issue of the cost of goods sold. There was an increase of 110 base points. This is because of the same effect in the rate of exchange for raw materials. In general, raw materials had good results in dollars, except cocoa and somewhat sugar. The other raw materials have been under control, but the rate of exchange shows the increase in costs higher than revenues. How are we balancing the equation? Basically, use expenses. The rates of growth, especially administration and production expenses, and also sales, are very much under control. This is, helps us get these operating profits, as you can see, grow at 18% higher than the growth in revenue. So we have the pressure on raw materials, but by expense management, we increased our operating profits even above the increase in revenue. And in post-operating, we have the effect of our debt, and the rate of interest, interest rates have been increasing. Last week, they went up again. We had an increase of about 200 base points in the reference rates. This makes our financial expenses grow, as we show in these statements of results for the quarter. And finally, after some effects due to the rate of exchange differences, because of a longer position of our dollars, dollar position, the rate of exchange with the dollar has been very volatile. We have some plus operating effects in the rate of exchange difference, and we have a higher tax burden, like in countries like Colombia and Chile. Remember, it's a basket of geographies in terms of taxes, but Colombia and Chile have some pressures. There's an increase in the deferred income tax because of the use of tax shields in the period, and this increases the net profits. Is 79,412 million pesos, Colombian pesos, grew at 0.2%. This is for the quarter. For the semester, the statement of results is in slide number 13, and for this we have the accumulated revenue for the group. When we had the positive behavior of both quarters, growth double-digit. It is the organic growth. We do consider the first quarter. We see the difference with the organic because of the El Corral acquisition. It was at 15.4%, and the difference is 80 basic points. It decreases compared to the quarters in figures. And it's the same strategy of managing control, managing administration and production costs. And expenses are also very much in line with the growth of revenue, and they have shown very good growth in operating profits. We also have effects of differences rate of exchange, both in operating and post-operating revenue. We have a positive effect. Remember, the working capital accounts, mainly suppliers, are affected by the revaluation. We had a revaluation of 7.4% for the first quarter, and that produces a revenue, and the operating margins are very similar to the previous years. We just the growth is very much in line with the revenue. In the post operating, it's exactly the same effect as the first quarter. The debt also. Higher financial expenses, in this case, close to in the increase in higher debt, and two-thirds because of increases in the rate of reference, which I mentioned a few minutes ago. Income taxes has a very similar dynamics than what we explained for this quarter, and that is why the accumulator we have profits of 231.84 million Colombian pesos, higher by 0.3% than what we had during the same period in the previous year. These are the financial statements. Let's go to slide number 14, where we have the debt and the cap. The slide shows how net sales over EBITDA is at 2.82 times. This indicator has been improving consistently over the various quarters, and we continue with the same trend. As we donate some additional cash, we use that to decrease this debt level. Again, we are comfortable at this level, but the idea is to create some availability for future projects and decrease the debt. The rate of average of this debt is 8.91%. We've done some small movements in the short and medium term composition so as not to have rollover of market risk, but as you know, the medium and long term debt that we have some plans. We show you the CapEx. It's 382,000 billion pesos is the budget. The executed so far until the end of the first quarter was 122,400 million Colombian pesos. However, the frequency of the CapEx will lead us to a very similar execution to what we have budgeted. And this completes this section, and I'll give the floor to Carlos Ignacio to give us his vision for the rest of 2016. Thank you, Jose Domingo. So, after we've heard the first quarter, the first semester, what we see is that the difficulties that we had locally in Colombia because of the transportation strike is over. We have the competitiveness of the company. We just completed the first month of the third quarter, and the positive commercial dynamics continue. And we believe that this momentum, which is based on the power of the brand and the development of channels we've done, will allow us to have very good dynamics. We project that some of the factors that have led inflation to be so high are not structural factors. Some were related to the lack of rain. We already had some rains, and some other access difficulties because of the transportation strike. That's already over too. So inflation should start decreasing slowly, and that also should mean that by using our strategy, we can maintain this positive commercial dynamics in sales, and also the actions that we've implemented internally for productivity, both in costs and expenses. The review of many processes, we are certain, will enable us to maintain profit levels and close this year within the range that we want to achieve our mega goal for the 2020. This is our outlook for the 2016, and I would like to, Alejandro, to go to the Q&A. Please, and those who are connected to the conference or webcast in English, your questions will be received through the webcast or through ajimenez@gruponutresa.com. And we will start the Q&A by what we have through the conference, alternating through the webcast. We'll start our Q&A question now. If you have a question, please through the webcast or through the email, ajimenez@gruponutresa.com. Good morning, Jairo Aguadela. I have two questions, Carlos Ignacio. First, about retail food. During the quarter, you showed sales increasing by 5.5%, but as you mentioned, in Colombia, you have seen some adjustments that have been closed, some stores for remodeling. What is the sales by meters so we can see the performance, excluding the non-recurring events, effects of the remodeling of the stores? Although you mentioned for the second quarter, the impact was not significant. The heaviest strike was during June. Now that June is over, could you tell us whether we had a major impact on the company? What can we expect in terms of profitability for the business so that we can project for the rest of the year? Thank you, Ido, for the questions. The first answer, within the list that we do about the retail food business, we combine the figures for the ice cream stores we have in Central America and the Caribbean, and the figures for BA groups, not only El Corral, but also the other stores that we have, Papa John's, Leños and Carbón, some, just to mention a few. The remodeling is ongoing, and it is something that allows us to sacrifice some sales for some time so that you can see increased sales afterwards. The experience is that when we do this type of work, when we come back, those sales are almost 20% or higher than we used to sell before the remodeling. We do not do any disclosure in detail, because the idea is to provide you the specific items to evaluate the company, but we are very careful not to provide information that might be used by the competition. But in general, what we can say is that there's going to be modeling. We will do them whenever it's justified, and we will have some more new store openings. We had a very challenging semester, as José Domingo was mentioning, because of the inflationary pressures of some of the expenses, but we're not going to go in further detail in consumer retail, in retail foods. With respect to the transportation strike, it was a very complex issue in the country. It was 42 days, and the comment that Heidel mentions is very valid. The effects in June at the end of the second quarter was very moderate, and it was more focused on some exports, not being able to ship some exports because of congestion at the ports, and part of the businesses that require, that had the less active inventory. But the most affected part was July. Well, Grupo Nutresa has the most complete distribution network in Colombia for retail foods, and that enabled us to have inventories that helped us not to be totally out. There were some shortages, but not totally out in any region. And the final effect is not going to be a significant effect. There's an effect on the sales volume, lost sales, products that were not there, which in no event is more than 5% of the sales for the month. And I'm talking about that would be the worst case scenario. And in profitability, especially because of some minor or lower production volumes that make the direct manufacturing cost will be diluted to a few tons or kilos. We're calculating that figure, but we prepared for that in advance. We analyzed this very seriously. We had risk management sessions with the committees that we have for the purpose, and we managed it very well. And I believe that at the end of the strike, we're able to react so fast
that the businesses are going to be, after the month of July, is going to be an advantage vis-a-vis the competition because of the active inventories that we had. Thank you very much. I think that answers both questions. Thank you for your question and your answer. Question through the webcast from Diego Rosas, Porvenir, in English. In this case, we thought that in local currency there is a growth, but the figures that you see in decreasing there is because when we convert that to Colombian pesos, the combination of those rates gives a negative figure, but in Chile we had a growth during the quarter. Sergio Matsumoto from Citi. I have three questions about the retail food in your strategy. I understand from the last conference that the strategy was to focus on volume this year, and I would like to know what the competition's reaction has been and why is there this difference between the other segments that are more focused on price. And the last question is, when would be the appropriate time to have a more balanced strategy between volume and price for retail food? Thank you, Sergio, and I'll be glad to give you some comments. Once again, I have to refer to the fact that the numbers that we disclose combine the stores in Central America and Colombia, in Ecuador, Colombia, Copa, Gourmet, Leños y Carbón, Leños Gourmet. Just to give you some examples, when we mentioned in the previous conference our care with the transactions, it meant that, first of all, when you look at retail food, we have many segments in that business. One of those segments is what we call fast food, and we do not play in fast food. We are at a higher level in terms of quality and experience. And that segment is places us in an area which could be more sensitive during complex times in the economy. So what we said during the conference is we're going to be very careful of not making any large price increases that would significantly affect our transactions. Obviously, always with a look at the medium and long term, we want to grow profitably. But the strategy we mentioned of taking care of the transactions led us to have a very moderate price changes to avoid deteriorating the number of transactions. What has been the competitor's reaction? Well, it's difficult to speak about the average, because I have to say of the competitors in ice cream, in pizzas, in pizzas and burgers and in restaurants in general. But I'd say that there's an area of the fast food which is not where we are the strongest, where they are very price aggressive. They're playing there. But I would say that that is not the road that Grupo Nutresa chose. There are others that are more like what we're doing, and they are playing very strongly with innovation. They are betting very strongly in finding the best locations and in maintaining a higher experience for which the customer would be willing to pay more. And we're working on innovation also in improving image, quality, service, and in having the locations that we need. What would be the time? Well, we always have to be thinking about the balanced strategy. But the thing is that if you selected or chose a segment which is casual dining, product quality, you need that consistency and not going to price wars that are for other segments, which could also be successful, but our strategy is focused more on quality, service, location, and with a look at the medium and long term. In the ice cream shops, after we received them a couple of years ago, the first 1 or 2 years, it was very complex while we found our way, but now we have profit levels that are very much higher. The purchase we did in Colombia, we are on a similar path, and we have some initial adjustments, but we are happy with the acquisitions. We trust the development of the sector. This sector is very dynamic, and we're doing it carefully so that we will not sacrifice the long term with a view to the short term. Thank you. Carlos Rodriguez is the next from Credicorp Capital. My question is about the retail food units. I know it's 70% El Corral and all the names that you've mentioned. But it's clear that the effect of 17.4% margin going down to 13.5% during the last quarter has been affected by the conditions you mentioned. But my question is, what economic conditions have to come about so that you can have a more aggressive price strategy? Because this year, you said that you have been affected by rent, salaries, and everything. But this year, inflation is also going to go up. So then what do we have, you know, now next January, February, rent is going to go up. What are the conditions that must exist so that, or until when, are you going to come to a margin that you believe is sufficient? Now, what do you think that the margin is going to be? When do you have to become more aggressive? Let me answer that, Carlos. As I said earlier in the outlook, some of the factors that cause the inflation have disappeared. For example, power, because of the phenomenon El Niño, went up, and that increased the cost of power. The cost of power started to go down already. The difficulties with the transportation strike, all the structures that are part of the inputs went up. Now we have rains, now we have transportation, so that's coming down again. So we have to be very careful, as I mentioned when I answered your previous questions, Sergio, and it's not to overreact, because you can wind up by going into locations where, or in places where the consumer has better options. The idea is to be faithful or loyal to your value offer. We're not going to overreact. We're going to protect our profitability, and we have a lot of things on our roads. Pricing is only one of the ways, and we're going to be using that very wisely, and we can use it in Colombia and outside of Colombia, because these are different markets which have, they also consume in the same unit, but we're going to be very careful, and in productivity improvements are going to be applicable in all businesses. We're not going to be overreacting. We are going to consider the price variable during the second semester, but much less deeply or aggressively like we did the previous year, because we believe that the effects we wanted, we already achieved them, and I think that there's another portfolio of actions that we can implement that are very good for the business and could make a very major difference vis-a-vis the competition. So in this case, these are long-term businesses, and we're going to be very prudent, and you can be assured that when we consolidate
all our Grupo Nutresa businesses, we're going to be hitting the range that we've declared as we're desirable, which is between 12% and 14%, but without making decisions that will sacrifice positions that are important for the long term. The answer is we're going to be very active. We're going to be working in and out of Colombia, but some of the factors that had those effects have been resolved. Thank you very much. Edgar Romero. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. My question focuses on retail foods. Most of the topics have been mentioned. I'd like to have a little more details about the expense strategy that you mentioned beyond changing the trend in the inflation in Colombia. Do you perhaps see that we can find greater efficiencies in labor, or I don't know, what would be the strategy that you would like to use in this segment? Edgar, the answer is that there's a complete productivity plan that includes all the items, not only negotiating for the inputs, but also inside the way we do things, but based on one premise, without sacrificing quality for any reason and without sacrificing experience, because as we said earlier, this business is based on that. But there's a lot to be done, and we're on it. We have the experience of Grupo Nutresa, and it's applicable, and we have a very good team for businesses, and we believe that there are some levers we can pull to take the margins to the levels we want. This margin contributes to the group, and as we've said and done in every business, when we have variations or conditions that make the margins be below what was expected, we handle those levels. I will not go into details, but you can be rest assured that we're looking in detail into everything that we can do to improve productivity without sacrificing quality or experience. Thank you, Edgar. Thank you. Francisco Sumaya. Congratulations on your results. The question is, how much do you depend on the weather in chocolates and pasta? Is it possible that the consumer has consumed less chocolate or more in chocolate and ice cream than in pasta? Could that affect the growth and EBITDA? It's a very interesting question. I'll take this opportunity to say this is one of the major dilemmas in the world of food, not only Grupo Nutrición. These are questions that extend to the effects of climate change on the company's results. First of all, there is a relationship worldwide between the climate and the commodities, and that you know that. And speaking about the effect of climate on raw materials and costs, and for that, each company uses the strategies that they deem convenient. I mentioned the ones that we study the projections. We have a team focused on negotiating commodities. I've also said that we handle those commodities using risk management criteria, not expecting profits, because that would be a risk that we do not want to run for our shareholders. First, there is a global effect between weather and climate and the cocoa and climate and wheat, just to mention a couple. Also a number of factors, geopolitical factors, differentiated growth between sectors, etc. But when we go to the other side and we look at about the consumption, before talking about the consumers, I would like to say that countries like Colombia that don't have a highly developed structure have very good projects. The climate can also affect the possibility of reaching some regions when there are areas that are flooded or there are landslides or flooded rivers, there can be difficult to reach some areas. We've known about them and managed them for a long time. We have the ability in our distribution network to handle those difficulties. Lastly, with respect to the climate and consumption in the world, not only in Colombia, when it's rainier or colder, the consumption of chocolate increases. And that, it's very marked in Chile. Colombia, like Chile, grew in general with countries with seasons. In the tropics in Colombia, there is no summer or winter. There are rainy or dry seasons. But I'd say that chocolate and pasta have they're very good dynamics and not a result of the weather. In the case of pasta, this is very strong work and channel development. And I'd like to point out that lately, especially during the last month, we've seen also some positive effects because of the people from Venezuela coming into Colombia to buy products that they can't find in Venezuela. And we've made major sales. In the case of chocolate, I'd say that the main factor for this positive result is innovation, and that is internal capability. It's yielding its results, and it can be extended in the business and to other categories as well. So specifically, the answer is chocolate and pastas do not really depend on the weather, but like all foods around the world, they are, and they subject to some effect. So what can I tell you? That that they're going just as well, and the projection for the next year is very good. Thank you, Francisco. Very complete. Thank you. Miguel Ospina. Carlos Ignacio, thank you for your presentation. It's about pricing. Do you think that there's further room to increase prices, or when should we see a change in the trend? And whether with the current rate of exchange, do you think that you still have to increase a little bit to offset it? What can you tell me? Thank you, Miguel. We have a pricing strategy which is very sophisticated. We use world-class tools, and we look very carefully at the effects, almost scenario by scenario effects of changing the price in any reference in a specific category, a specific region, and in what channel. That is why I took the liberty of saying that I believe that for the rest of the year the use of the pricing tools is going to be moderate, because we always do a balance of what happens with the volumes, and we wonder what the competitor can do. Although it is true that the rate of exchange has exerted the pressure of the competitors that are based on imports, and that gives us a chance to continue to substitute for them. Although we have price increases, we've decided to consolidate our positions, continue with sound market shares, as I said earlier, and that is quite, although we're going to use the variable, we're going to handle it very carefully. We should not expect major changes in prices. We're going to be very prudent, and even the pricing strategies also indicate that when some structural conditions change, you could lower the prices to increase our share. We handle the variable in both directions. We have analyzed the results. Even the volumes have gone down very much below what some mathematical models indicated, but we're going to be using that very carefully. We should not expect major changes in prices. Thank you. We have no further questions. Alejandro Jimenez, have the floor.
We have one last question through the webcast. We will answer and then we will conclude the meeting. I will read the question. Ricardo Sandoval from GSC. Questions, we are seeing a rate of 1,950 pesos per dollar for the end of 2016 vis-a-vis the Colombian peso. Could you give us more indications about the commodities index and its value for the end of the year? First of all, about the projection of the rates, companies like ours, what we project are some ranges in which we believe that the rate is going to be moving. The rate that you mentioned could be, but it could be slightly higher also, and I think these are rates according to which this business is viable and very successful. We usually do not promise any expected rate. Rather, we go to the market and ask you, based on your consensus or your forecast, we go back and using a cash flow at risk model, we do a hedging process to reduce the volatility of the EBIT of the Nutresa group. With respect to the commodities index, we follow each commodity, but we don't mention any projections of the index. I would say, in general, we believe that the commodity situation for the rest of the year is not going to be any worse than we have today. And when any of those commodities becomes more favorable, with the necessary care, we have longer-term bets, which allow us to enjoy that favorable condition for a long time. And we believe that the dollar levels that the country has right now make it possible to export to grow. It makes us more competitive in other regions. And as I said earlier, this business has to be managed so it would be good or bad according to the rate of exchange only. This is one variable. We have to manage it, we have to administer it, and we have to make internal decisions. But it is not fundamental for the investors to get their adequate return. Thank you very much. This concludes the Q&A and the presentation of results for the second quarter. Thank you for all those who connected to the webcast, both in English and in Spanish, and to the conference of results. Any additional questions, we're always available for answers, either through a telephone call or email. So thank you very much. Have a happy week and rest of the day. Thank you for your participation in this event.